Two things to call to your attention. First of all, on Tuesday, we begin our Lenten series of speakers. This Tuesday at 6:30, we'll have Sister Phyllis Ann from Our Lady of Lourdes Shrine speaking of Our Lady of Sorrows, and that'll be in St. Joseph Hall again, 6:30 to 7:30 tomorrow, on Tuesday, rather. And on Wednesday, we'll have Movie with McNeil. The movie this month is Secondhand Lions, and there'll be beverages only, no snacks. Back in the worst days of the Iron Curtain, there was a fellow who wanted to escape to the West. And there was an international circus that was going to be going from behind the Iron Curtain to the West. And so he managed to scrape together all of his money and went to the fellow that owned the circus and asked him if he would help him to escape. So he came on that night, and the fellow said, "Now, put on this gorilla suit." And he put on the gorilla suit and says, "Now I'm going to put you in a cage and lock you in so that you can get across the border," and so forth. And when the fellow's eyes became accustomed to the darkness, he noticed that there was a lion in the cage with him. And he started saying, "Help, there's a lion in the cage." And the lion said, "Shut up, I'm trying to get out too." Well, the beasts in the story were fake, but the beasts that Jesus had to contend with were real. In the first reading, the flood has ended, and God makes a covenant relationship with his people. He promises that he will not send a flood again to destroy all the living, and gives a sign of the rainbow. God loves us, and God loves each of us. And the story of the flood isn't about destroying evil, but rather delivering the good because of God's love. And the waters of the flood have always been seen by the church as a sign of baptism, as we see in the second reading, as Peter says. And he says, baptism is not the washing away of original sin, although it accomplishes that, but rather it's about the dying with Christ to be raised with him. That's why we go under the water, whether it by immersion or having the water poured on top of us, to go under the water as Jesus went under the ground in death and burial, that we might rise again as he rose. That's so that we can live with him, filled with the divine life, filled with sanctifying grace throughout our lives. Finally, in the gospel, we see Jesus in the desert. And the first Sunday of Lent always talks about the temptations that Jesus experienced. But Mark is very, very terse, doesn't speak too much about it. And I think, so what were the temptations Jesus experienced? And I think the first temptation was solitude and silence. Jesus was raised in a family, lived in a small town, and was surrounded by people and a lot of noise as growing up in a small town and so forth. But even though he was always as God, he was always in communication with the Father and the Holy Spirit, as a human being, he had to also experience silence. And silence is something that many of us have a hard time with. We want to fill up our silence with noise. But Jesus' silence in the desert allows us to listen. It allows him to listen more clearly, humanly. And it reminds us that we are to understand our silences and to have silences in our lives so that we may be attentive more to God's love. We are called to have physical silence and spiritual silence as well. And when our conversations, we are to listen and not just to plan what we're going to say next. Another temptation is that of hunger. Jesus reflects upon his need for food as our need for food. Again, spiritual and physical. It reminds us to be compassionate to those who don't have food. And we are called in charity to provide for them as we can, from our resources, to provide both spiritual and physical food to those around us. And I think the final temptation that Jesus experienced was the temptation to not do what the Father called him to. Jesus could see, even humanly, what his preaching would lead to. And he didn't want to suffer and die. And that's our temptation, too. I seek my way, not God's way. I think the world revolves around me. And sometimes I can even think that God will save me in spite of myself. And he won't. We have to cooperate with God's grace. We are tempted, and we'll yield to those temptations and have yielded to those temptations and probably will again. But we must seek forgiveness, that the Lord may give us the grace of mercy and forgiveness, so that he will forgive us and give us, and especially in the sacrament of penance, especially during this season of Lent, to celebrate the sacrament of penance, to understand that God forgives us and provides for us grace. He gives us that grace over and over again to live with him in this life, to live the fullness of Christ's life here and now, that we might have the fullness of that life in the world that will never end.